Amen. Calvary conquered my heart. I thank God that He did mine in 1977, and I'm so glad for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you again, Pastor Turner, for allowing me to preach this morning. I thank God for Westgate Baptist Church for the hosting this great meeting. I told my wife, I think I've gained some weight already eating this good food. And my wife reminded me, I thought you are diabetic. You should be watching what you eat. I said, well, I cannot turn down good food. But thank you very much. The preaching was wonderful. I'm so blessed, the fellowship. And yes, sir, the music is wonderful. Thank you very much for the privilege to be here. Before I forget anything, I'd like to recognize my wife also. I'm glad that she's here with me, and my pastor, Pastor Hardy. And we have some brethren from the Philippines, and they told me they prayed for me today, and I needed it. I'm a little nervous, but I'm grateful. Let me also say that United States has been used of God in a great way, and is still using of God in a great way, I came from the Philippines, but let me say, especially to our country, the Philippines. I was thinking about this last night as I'm reviewing my notes, and you have helped deliver us from Spanish bondage or occupation for 300 years when the Great White Fleet defeated the Spanish Armada right there in Manila. We have not forgotten that, and we're grateful. And then, of course, during the Spanish occupation, you came again, and you delivered us out. And Mr. MacArthur said, I will return, and or I shall return. He did return, and we're thankful for that. And we have not forgotten that. But most especially, you've sent missionaries to this, not only to bigger countries, but even the small country called the Philippines. And we're so grateful, and I'm so glad. In fact, mission works, because we have my Filipino brothers here with us today, and reminding you that God has used these great missionaries, and we're so grateful that you helped deliver us from the bondage of sin, and now serving and co-laborers with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're grateful for that. Yes, sir, we're grateful for those missionaries that you sacrificed to send and prayed for, and I cannot leave this place. In fact, Brother Chadwick is here too from San Diego. I told him if all I could accomplish today is to thank you, churches and pastors, for giving to missions, to send your missionaries, that will be accomplished enough. That's all I could do this morning. And thank you for supporting Fred Nall and Lorraine Nall. I don't know if you've supported him, but thank you for supporting the Quinlans and Hughes and Edwards and Lyons and Hoogies and Woosleys and so many others that are gone home to be with the Lord now. And yet, their labor is not in vain. And that's the best I know how, that they've trained this preacher so well that now they're sending missionaries around Asia themselves. And I'm so grateful for that. Now, I wanted to confess to you this morning that the message is not original for me. But when I heard it, it's a blessing to my heart. And all I ask is that it could be a blessing to your hearts as well. I invite you to stand with me, 2 Timothy, no, I'm just kidding, Matthew chapter number 20. Matthew chapter number 20. I'll be reading the first 15 verses this morning, and you just follow as I read. Matthew 20, let me begin beginning verse number 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? And they said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his stewards, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last to the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, This last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Shall we pray? Father, thank you that you are a loving and a merciful and a good God. Lord, what a blessing to hear men of God stand here to speak for you. And Lord, use me also this morning to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. While the Apostle Paul was in Rome, he sent a letter to a church in Philippi and admonishing them and encouraging them and reminding them how they have supported him and prayed for him and blessed him. In that letter, he also mentioned a name of a young man by the name of Timothy, one of his sons in the ministry who has been greatly used of God. If you turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, the Bible said, as Paul writes to this church, But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Verse 20, For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. The Apostle Paul here is testifying that like himself, it was just the nature of Timothy to care for others. Now, I like that. Like-minded. You know, he got it after the one that has mentored him. In fact, in verse number 21, Paul writes to them, For all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. You know, Timothy, he said, care for you. He wants to serve God, not like others who really only use God. Instead of serving God, they're using God to advance their own agenda. They have their own agenda. You know, it is a sad thing when God's people, sadly even preachers, just want to use God for their selfish ambitions. Rather than to desire to be used of God, to be where God wants them to be, and to do what God has told them to do. Again, if we are not careful, we will manipulate God to do what we wanted to do instead of allowing ourselves and placing ourselves in a position where God can use us for His honor and for His glory. And by the way, as I've heard this week, if you wanted to be used of God, God is looking for somebody to use. In fact, Pastor Now, the one that started our church, the missionary that spent his life in the Philippines, and when he was crippled, he came back sadly to the States because he said, My skin is white, but my heart is brown. I want to be in the Philippines. And you've heard it last year, some of you that were in our church, how he longed to be back. But the doctors advised him, You can't go back. You'll die in the Philippines with your health. But you know, the Lord allowed him to see that he don't have to go to the Philippines. They are here in the United States. At that time, there were about 75,000 Filipinos in San Diego. And now I believe there's over 150,000 there. You know, we grew fast. And so, the Lord said to him, You don't have to go there. They are here. And he started Bible Baptist Church. And I'm grateful. In fact, he told me, You know my name, Null? It means zero. And he told me, If God can use a null, which is a zero, God can use you. And my last name is Obero. You know, it's zero from the beginning and zero at the end as well. I'm double zero, in fact. I'm so thankful for that advice. I'm so thankful. Pastor Hardy mentioned this verse, For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. The Lord is looking for somebody He could use, that the world will know His power and His greatness and, yes, His great love. His love so much that He provided us salvation through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 9, you know the passage, the Lord, the Bible said, when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore unto the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Pray, He said, for laborers. God is looking for His co-laborers so He could use to build His church. Again, I thank God for that missionary, Fred and Lorene Now. I also thank God at the 00 He has given me and saved me and given me the privilege to serve Him. You see, I was raised as a very religious young man. My parents and mom and dad are Roman Catholics, and we go to church every Sunday. We're very religious, but just like Dr. John R. Rice said, we're lost. We know that Jesus is God. We know that Jesus died on the cross. But we thought He's still there on the cross. We thought that Jesus is a God that must be pleased. You have to deserve and earn your way. As a young boy, I remember trying to please God. I watched my mother go kneel from the, out there in the back, all the way to the front. I remembered her taking me to some idols in some place where there's miraculous thing. They told me, Manawag Pangasinan, you know that. And they said, if you have some illnesses, you take your handkerchief and you touch them on where you're ill and you put that and you could get better. I was a sickly boy. And so my mother took me there. I remember that. But you know what? I'm glad that the Lord allowed me to join the military, the U.S. Navy. And in the service, I have a shipmate who not only lived for Jesus Christ, but was able to share the gospel to me. And I knew him. I watched him. He has a joy in his heart. And I said to him, I want what you have. And he shared to me that Jesus not only died for sinners, but He died for my sins, for me. It's like the song said. And yes, sir, the Lord is gracious enough to save me. And I'm thankful for that. Paul writes in Corinthians, and I think of myself when I read this verse. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, things that are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. But this morning I would like to share, I believe, some things that will help us if we want to be used of God. Number one, if we want to be used of God, let us not overly concern about what we could get, but what we could give. Now the reason why this parable was given by the Lord is because Peter asked the question. If you go back in Matthew 19, verse number 27, and I know we don't want to ask this question, but Peter did. Matthew 19, in verse number 27, the Bible said in verse number 27, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? You know, he said, what are we going to get out of serving you? But notice the Lord's answer. Verse number 28. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. You know what the Lord said to Peter? You don't have to worry about what you would get for serving me. Just be concerned what you could give me. I will take care of you. We have a record from the Bible of men and women of God, whom God has taken care of. Again, I remember Pastor Nall as he shared some experiences in the Philippines. There was a time, he said, when he came back to the States and it's time for him after furlough to go back, they have no money, no plane ticket. But he was invited by Dr. Clifford Clark, then the pastor of Tulsa Baptist Temple. In a mission conference there, he attended all week, not knowing what the Lord and how the Lord would provide. And at the end of the conference, Dr. Clark gave him an envelope. And you know what he said? He opened it and it's $10,000. Not only enough for them to have passage with him, his wife and two daughters, but you know what? He said, more than enough. God has provided for my need. That's a promise of God. But my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I remembered He also asked me, remember Isaiah 54:17, He told me. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. He shared to me how he was willing to serve in the Philippines, and yet there's even one preacher who tried to take him to court, he said. Serving God. But you know what? God is righteous God, he said. The judge dismissed that and chastised that preacher who tried to sue me. But God will protect care. God will take care of you. Again, we don't really, honestly, I have nothing when I surrendered to the Lord. I didn't really have much. But whatever we leave, whatever we forsake to God, whatever we give up to serve God, that's nothing compared to what He is going to give to us. I remember the time when God opened the door. Pastor Nall started a church in 1983. And we were there. In fact, the reason we were in a good church, and then my wife heard that they were starting a Filipino work there, and he heard the word Nall, and he said, I know them. My wife was a young person in Olongapo, and they used to have fellowship meetings with different churches in the Philippines, and not as many as we have now. And so from Baguio and Tarlac and Manila and Olongapo, they all fellowship together. And he said, I know that missionary. Can we visit them? And I'm satisfied in that church. An American church is a great church, soul-winning church. And I said, no, I don't want to leave this church. But my wife won. So I said, all right, let's skip church one Sunday. And Sunday night anyway. And you know what? They invited us actually to a cantata. So a Christmas cantata. They were a mission then. And we thought that was the night. Because they attended. The reason why we met them is they attended a Christmas cantata at that big American church. And anyway, my wife said, oh, let's go visit them. I'd like to see them and say hi to them. All right. And so we did skip. Now, don't do this if you're a member of Westgate Baptist Church. But we skipped that Sunday night and we went to that church to watch their cantata. But lo and behold, that was not the night of the cantata. That was their rehearsal. And I'm glad because they don't have much people there. Just few people, not even 20 people. And there's about 10 of them trying to sing. And we're visited and God spoke to my heart. Because 2 years before, I surrendered when I was stationed in the Philippines. I surrendered at Pastor Abrera's church there to serve the Lord whatever He wants me to do. And I remember watching this missionary and he's crippled. And he can hardly talk, and he's trying to reach Filipino people. I said to myself, what am I doing in that church? Just sitting there, yes, singing in the choir, but that's all I do. And here's a man that's crippled, and I'm trying to reach my own people. The Lord spoke to my heart. I said, oh, God, I want to help this man. And so that night, Mrs. Now cried, and she said, we need help. Come help us. And so I talked to my pastor the following week, and I asked permission if I could join that church. And I'm glad. Because I didn't realize that one day I would be the pastor in that church. I did not know. All I desire is to just help him reach our own people. In fact, I remember him asking me, at that time I served the Navy for 11 and a half years. I was first class petty officer, getting ready to become a chief petty officer at that time. And so he asked me, would you pray to be trained to be the next pastor? I said to him, I'm not qualified, sir. I really don't think I am the man. Well, he said, I'm glad you said you're not qualified, because if you said you're qualified, then there's nothing I could teach you, he said.
Well, because you're not qualified, you don't know anything, I could help you. That's what he said. I'm glad.
And let me say, I'm glad for a wife. She could have said, well, 8.5 more years, sweetheart, and we could have retirement. At least we have a little income coming month after month. The church is not big then. But my wife said, well, I've known some Bible college students who have never graduated from Bible college, but they're not pastoring. But here you are. You didn't even go to Bible college, and you have the privilege to be trained to be a pastor. Now, my wife, I'm so grateful for her. He that findeth a good wife, if findeth a good thing. I got a good wife. I'm thankful. She's there by me and encouraged me. And yes, she's my counselor and my best friend. I'm thankful for her. My master chief, when I told him that I'm getting out of the Navy, he said, you'll never make anything that you're making now in the ministry. You know, he's talking about salary, and he was right. I mean, I had housing. I had commissary privileges. I have medical insurance. I have retirement. I have paycheck coming in. You know, 20 years, you could get retired, you know. And every... But, you know, my father told me, that's foolish, son. But, you know, I look back now. I could have missed a great opportunity to pastor a wonderful church if I did not obey God. Oh, I could have missed it. I could have missed it. And I'm so thankful that God has given me the privilege. And yes, what a privilege for me. As the Brother Folger said last night, when we attend fellowship meetings, what a wonderful thing to meet other men of God and hear from men of God, especially older men of God. I'm thankful for Pastor Hardy. I crossed my path, and Pastor now made me and get to know him. And I remember the first time he came to our church and he said, have you taken some vacation? I said, no. You go to Tulsa, preach to our missions conference, and you know, you take a vacation, he said. And on the way there, I got me my speeding ticket, and he said, all your glove gift will go to the speeding ticket now, you know. But I remember, he gave me the privilege and opportunity to preach in that great church. I was so blessed. Oh, I shook, you know, I stuttered and shook and was nervous. But he gave me that privilege, and I'm so grateful. And yes, sir, he should. I have that same problem. If I'm not careful too, just go to one corner and stay there. But I agree, because you never know who's the man of God across your path that could help you. Now, when Pastor Now went home to be with the Lord, I said, would you be my pastor? I need a pastor. I need someone to talk to. I need someone to counsel me. And how many times he helped me get out of a lot of trouble, you know. And by the way, I wish I get to know Pastor Now more. I wish I listened more and pay attention more, because you never realize what you got until he's gone. Oh, I miss that. Every Monday he sit down. He sat me down and tell me what I did wrong and what I did right. In fact, after I preached and I was ready to ask him to close in prayer, he asked the people to sit down, preach 20 more minutes. Because he knew I did not feed the people right. Hey, listen, whatever you leave, God's going to take care of you. Amen. Don't be concerned what you could get, but be concerned what you could give God. Amen. Number two, notice that these people ask how much they should get. They demanded a contract from God. Notice verse number 1 and 2 again. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder which went early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. In other words, they said to him, if you pay us one penny a day, we'll work for you. Well, the Lord said, all right, agreed. You go work in my vineyard and I'll pay you a penny a day. You know, let's not demand a contract from God. Don't say to God, Lord, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. Oh, no. He will take care of us. In fact, notice that he don't like idleness.
You know, he said in verse number 3, and he went out the third hour and saw other standing idle in the marketplace. In verse number 4, he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give unto you. You know, notice this. When he saw others who are not doing anything, he hired them also. But notice the second group didn't demand anything from him. They just are happy that they have a job. You know, in San Diego, if you have a project about a house or doing some yard work, and you try to go to Home Depot to get those materials, there are men there that are standing by. Isn't that, Brother Carlos? They're ready for you to hire them. Sometimes, even in the afternoon, they're there longing for somebody to hire them. So the Lord kind of hired them to work for Him. But these people, they did not demand anything from the Lord. They're just happy that they could find a work. And you know what? You know what the Lord told them? Whatsoever is right, I will give you. I mean, that's all that we really need. Whatsoever is right, I will give you. Again, in verse number 5, and he went about the sixth hour and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, in verse number 6, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why stand you here all day idle? Again, I read that and underlined in my Bible 3 times he mentioned the word idleness. You don't want us to just standing around like what we heard this week. Continue, keep busy. Occupy. They have not hired us. They said to him, all right, I'm hiring you. Work for me. And whatever is right, I shall give you. That's all we really need. And yes, we can trust Him to supply our need. Each of us here could look back and realize what God has done. Now we are blessed. I always have time to tell you, Pastor Hardy knows this, how God has provided a building for us. Not one time, but 2 times. God has, it's a miracle. I cannot explain that to you, but that's one way of saying whatever is right, I'm going to take care of you. And by the way, how thankful we are that God does not give everything we wanted. We'll be in a lot of trouble if He just whatever we ask, He give us, you know. I'm glad those things that I asked, He didn't give me some of them. I probably will not be in the ministry today. Well, I'm thankful. Whatsoever is right, I would give you. You know, sometimes we ask God and we expect Him to give it the way we wanted it and the time we wanted to get it. Oh, no. He has His own time. Be not deceived, the Bible said. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. When is due season? His own timetable. Just keep keeping on. I mean, you know, just continue. Stay in that old path. Keep on preaching. Keep on sowing. And in that right season, in appointed time, He knows what we need and He will give. And yes, He is the one who will give the increase. Want to be used of God? Don't be concerned what you get, but what you could give. Don't demand any contract from God. Number 3, don't assume that anyone owes you anything. Notice verse number 8. Matthew 20, verse number 8. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto the steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, that were hired, about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. Just 1 hour, and they got 1 penny. Now think about this now. There are those that have worked 12 hours and as they watch them get their paycheck, 1 penny, boy, they're probably thinking, we worked 12 hours, at least we're going to get 12 pennies here. The Bible said, but when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. I circled the word supposed. They supposed they should have received more. We get in trouble with that, the word supposed. In the Philippines, we call it maling akala, you know, supposing. And sadly, we live in a generation that, you know, we do suppose things. My parents, they suppose that their parents owes them something. We suppose that our church owes us something. The government owes us something. I have done this. I have this title. And yes, sir, people owe me. If we
begin to think like that, we are positioning ourselves in a terrible disappointment. You know, we don't assume anything, that they owe us anything. If they give us something, we'll be grateful, isn't it? But if you begin to assume and you begin to expect that you deserve something and they don't give it to you, you'll be disappointed, big time. In fact, you begin to become bitter, and then later on you say, this church don't love me, and you end up quitting. So let's not worry about those things. Just keep looking. Keep serving the Lord. Whatever is right, He will give you. About 3 years ago, my wife and I celebrated our 25th year anniversary. And at the same time, we've been in the church for 20 years. And the church gave us a 5-day trip to Hawaii. That was a blessing. Now, we didn't expect that. But you know what? When they gave cruise thing, we're so excited. That's before our daughter got married, and we have a whole week together as a family before I give her away. But you know something? I'm glad I didn't expect for it, because if they didn't give me anything, then nothing wrong, you know? I didn't expect it. But I was very, very grateful. And by the way, our recognition, Pastor Nal used to tell me, my record is on high. I don't have to expect anything here. But one day I'm going to stand before God. That's where my record is. That's where I will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Again, position is wonderful. But position is something for us to serve people. Not that people could serve us, but to serve them. As the Lord has given us the example, He has served His disciples. In fact, He said, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, and have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, and neither he that sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Number four, not only don't be concerned what you could get, but what you could give. Don't demand a contract from God. Don't assume anyone owes you anything. Don't complain when what the Lord does for other people. Verse number 11, and when they had received it, they murmured. I underline the word murmured against the good men of the house, saying, this last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. They complain. They murmured. They only work one, you give them a penny. We work 12, you gave us the penny. That's unfair. Notice verse 13. The Lord said, He answered unto them, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that is thine, that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even unto thee. Is it not high like this? Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil? Because I am good. Yeah, the good God, thank God, is a giver of every good gifts. And we should not complain what He does for others. You know what? Sometimes we're surprised that God blesses people that we don't even agree with them. I mean, we don't agree with those people, yet God bless them too, you know. We think, though, God, they don't deserve your blessing, God. You know, we get jealous. If we're not careful, we begin to compare ourselves. We get jealous and we begin to complain to God. Oh, He is a good God. He knows what we need. He knows what they need. And you know, by the way, we don't have to worry. He has enough. He has enough. Again, I've preached long enough. God is looking for people He could use. In fact, again, He said to His disciples, pray ye therefore for the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into the harvest. Yes, every nation of the world still needs the Lord Jesus Christ. But I really believe this with all my heart. Let's not forget the United States of America. Oh, I'm so thankful that this fellowship believe in missions, not just foreign mission. There's no difference, they told me. There's no difference, either home or foreign. It's all missions. And I'm glad Brother Garcia and his wife going to to Venezuela. I'm glad for our very own brother Carlos going out there in California, in Delano. Please, I understand he will be presented tonight. We believe that the Lord will use him in a great way. He's used him in a great way in our church. And sometimes God has a way to take your best to call him and send him somewhere else. And we are supporting him $2,000 a month. He needed $3,000 a month to start a work. I hope that you preachers will pick him up and help him so he could go full time. And you know, I was sharing this to the committee that, and I thank God for the advices and counsel of my pastor, Pastor Hardy. And we're praying for our city, but then Pastor Hardy said, you know what? You think about it, he said, most Filipino preachers that are pastors here in the U.S., most people that they attract are Filipinos. Would you consider? And Brother Carlos researched some more. And he found out that there's not too many there in that city of San Marcos. And then he began to look at the internet. And I told him, I think we should go to Delano. Somehow I visited that city before, spoke to that church. There's a lot of Filipinos there, I said to him. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not just asking him to reach Filipinos. It's like our church would not only to reach Filipinos. It would reach everybody. But it so happened that most people that will come and to our doors are Filipinos. And you know, so pray for Brother Carlos. Again, if you wanted to be used of God, God is looking for you. Remember, if you want to be used of God, don't be overly concerned what you could get, but what you could give. Don't demand any contract from God. Don't assume that anyone owes you anything. Don't complain what the Lord does for others. Dear Lord, I'll be a witness if you will help my weakness. I know that I'm not worthy, Lord, of Thee. By eyes of faith I see Thee upon the cross of Calvary. Dear Lord, I cry, let me Thy servant be. Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't forsake me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you.